Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Essential workers. There's a phrase we've all heard. But who is an essential worker? Are you one? Would you know one if you saw one? According to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the definition goes like this. Quote, essential workers are those who conduct a range of operations and services that are typically essential to continue critical infrastructure operations. Okay. So what is critical infrastructure operations? The government agency called the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, how's that for a name, defines it like this. There are 16 critical infrastructure sectors whose assets, systems, and networks, whether physical or virtual, are considered so vital to the United States that their incapacitation or destruction would have a debilitating effect on security, national economic security, national public health or safety, or any combination thereof. Presidential Policy Directive 21 identifies 16 critical infrastructure sectors. They are chemical, commercial facilities, communications, critical manufacturing, dams, defense industrial base, emergency services, energy, financial services, food and agriculture, governmental facilities, healthcare and public health, information technology, nuclear reactors, materials and waste, transportation, and water and wastewater systems. So, the short answer is you are an essential worker if your job is in one of those 16 areas. Because if you didn't do your job, then the nation would suffer. Of course, it also means that everyone else is non-essential. And if the non-essential workers don't do their jobs, well, then the nation wouldn't be that much different. Or to put it bluntly, some people are more important to the well-being of our country than others. Isn't that what the phrase essential workers means? Either we need you in order to function or you don't really matter. Although I get what the phrase is trying to say, I don't really like it. Because it draws a big line between people. And Paul wouldn't like it either. In today's second reading, we hear his famous description of the parts of the body. And he talks about how all of the parts are essential, how every part matters, how all of the parts are dependent upon each other. There are no non-essential parts in the body of Christ. Well, of course, if you're trying to be a smart aleck, you might think about parts of your own body that you can do without, like wisdom teeth or tonsils or the appendix. People get those removed all the time and the body still works just fine. So wouldn't people who are the wisdom teeth of the body of Christ be non-essential? Well, that kind of takes Paul's metaphor a bit too far, though. His point was just to remind people of Corinth that each person has an important part to play. Which is great. But it also sounds like common sense. I mean, why make such a big deal over it? Doesn't everybody know we're supposed to say everyone's important? Well, even if it's common sense, that still doesn't mean that we always live that way. Right? Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, and the community there was a hot mess. Talk about dysfunctional. They were supposed to be showing the love of Christ to each other and to the world, But instead, they were arguing about who among them was the most important. They thought one person's spiritual gifts were more important than somebody else's spiritual gifts. So they basically thought that some people were essential members of the body and other people weren't. Well, of course, earlier, Jesus' disciples had a similar argument about who was the greatest among them. And in response, Jesus brought a little child into their midst, one of the helpless ones of society, one who had no power or privilege. And Jesus told his disciples that if they don't receive the kingdom of God as if it were a little powerless child, then they would never really experience it. Paul gave the people of Corinth a similar reminder. He basically said that the life of faith is not about you and why you're number one. Instead, it's about how you can serve others and how you're connected to them. This divided community of Corinth needed to understand that. And although today we know that, if we're honest, sometimes we still act like the church in Corinth. We know we're supposed to say everybody's important, but our actions still sometimes don't show that. Think, for example, about how last Monday was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. If there is anybody in our history who's been a voice for unity in the midst of diversity, it was him. He called people to cross the race lines we had drawn and see each other as precious children of God. That doesn't mean ignore race. It doesn't mean ignore our differences. But it does mean we are to come together in the midst of those differences. His message is one we still need to hear today. Because quite often, instead of crossing those lines, we've just made them bolder. We still have racism and sexism and ageism and all the other isms. We still have polarization and political preferences. We still divide ourselves based on any number of criteria. And we like to think that our group is better than some other group. And honestly, that should drive us to our knees in confession and repentance. We talk about being united because we know that's what we're supposed to say. But quite often we look more like the church in Corinth than we might care to admit. Paul wrote this famous passage to remind the people of Corinth that there are no non-essential workers in the body of Christ. Everyone's important. And I know we've heard that before, but it seems like we think of it in the snowflake kind of way. As in, I'm special, you're special, we're all special. And yes, in a sense, that's true, right? God did make us all different. But that still focuses on the individual. Paul was reminding the people that everyone's important, not because they're unlike everybody else, but because they matter to the body. And if you've been told that you're non-essential, that you're not important, that you are not valuable to the larger whole, then this is wonderfully good news. The body cannot survive without you. That's why it's not just about different parts of the body, but about how all of the parts are dependent upon each other. You are dependent upon others, and they are dependent upon you. And I know in our day, sometimes that word dependence gets a bad reputation. We want to be independent people who can stand on our own two feet. We don't like relying on others or giving ourselves to some larger whole. Like some people might say, I don't want to be a cog in a machine. I don't want to work for the man. I don't want to be a slave. I want to get out of the matrix. I want to be free. Well, our American culture is so focused on individual freedoms and rights that we often forget about the well-being of the community. But we need both. In our diversity, each of us plays an important part in the larger body. And in just a moment, we'll have a great example of that. We'll have not only the installation of our council members, but also the installation of all of you. Yes, those of you on council have public positions of leadership here, but the rest of you also have important roles to play. All of the parts are valuable. So we will pledge to work together as the body of Christ. We will affirm our individual responsibilities and also promise to support others in their work. And think about how after service we'll have our year in review lunch. Right, this time of year we look back and celebrate how God has worked in us this past year. And then look ahead to see what wonderful things God will do with us in the coming year. And on the tables out there, you'll see some pictures from the yearbook I sent out. But it's not like only the important people are in the pictures. No, those pictures are there just as simple reminders that God is doing great things through ordinary people like us at St. Paul. And honestly, much of the work of ministry happens behind the scenes. Think about all of the stuff in your physical body that nobody pays attention to. The obvious things couldn't happen without all the behind-the-scenes stuff. So whether you are out in front or you're behind the scenes, every part matters. Because we all work together. The people of Corinth needed to stop thinking of themselves as better than others. And they needed the promise that each person is important in the body of Christ. Today, we need that promise too. In a time when we hear about essential workers and non-essential workers, in a time when we're still dividing ourselves so many different ways, in a time when people are trying to find their place in this world, all of us are given a wonderful promise. You are not expendable. You are valuable and precious and vital to the body of Christ. You belong, and you have an important part to play. And others are counting on you to do your part. And so as we come together as the body of Christ in the world, we work together to share God's love with others. Because no matter what part you play in doing that, you are absolutely essential. So in the name of the one in whom we are all united, Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.